Where is I'm not talking about I'm not connecting this with that. Where is our friend?
Andre. I came back early because I knew he didn't really want to come today. So I came back early.
Attachment?
Yes. Attachment is a very complex problem. And I'd like you to just sort of talk about it for beginners. How to sort of, are there any sort of techniques? There's nothing. There's just the sort of recognition that it's happening through the pain.
The technique that is usually suggested is what one might call transference or sublimation. More transference than even sublimation.
Pardon?
More transference
sublimation.
Than even sublimation. This probably you found a few quotations in the Bhagavatam. That attachment is bondage. If it is directed towards your husband and children and so on. And the same attachment, when it is directed towards holy men, it's conducive to liberation. But that's oversimplifying this thing. Because then the scripture, Bhagavatam and others, goes on to say that you are attached to the holy man and the holy man is not attached to you, then what happens? It is not necessary that you should be lifted out of your attachment. You understand me? That's their idea. Their idea is that you need a scratching post to lean on. You need some support. And therefore you are clinging to your husband or your father or your son or your somebody else. And in the case of these people, there is a two-way traffic. You lean on him and he leans on you to return the compliments. The idea that is suggested here is that instead of leaning upon these people, lean on a holy man. Now, the next verse sort of explains why that could be, that is, according to the, not could be, liberating. Why? Because though you may be attached to the holy man is not so attached. So, in that relationship, because you don't, the feedback that you get is one of non-attachment. And hopefully, that's what they hope, one of these days you will discover that, my God, this man is very affectionate. He's not indifferent. He doesn't hate me. He's not indifferent to me. But he's not attached to me. What is this magic? That is what they hope. One of these days you will ask yourself and thus find the way out of this silly thing called attachment. But that may not happen. If you go to any of these major ashrams, you will see. You will see and hear stories of vicious jealousy. Swami Shivananda used to do that. He used to pour his affection upon you. And a little later, it's gone. And now Peter is the most important. Suddenly all your ego is deflated, the balloon is pricked. Can you at that time see the underlying philosophy, or do you feel frustrated? Both these things are possible. So even that teaching, though it looks so sort of specific and simple, is meant only for the mature people. All these tricks and techniques that are given are ultimately useless, because you are merely transferring your attachment. And even this has been suggested in the Bhakti Sutras, for instance, that if you are attached and if you are proud and so on and so forth, direct it all towards Krishna, towards Vishnu or Shiva. Instead of being attached to somebody, X, Y, Z, be attached to God. God in that context means a personal God. Like, for instance, Mirabai, she considered Krishna as her lover, as husband. Gopis, you know, in the case of gopis, at least Krishna was in physical form. So he reciprocated the whole thing. In the case of Meera and some others, she visualized the form of Krishna and said, he is my Lord, he is my husband. There is one Catholic saint. Saint Catherine of Siena? No. Anybody has heard the name?
Yes, I heard the name. But I thought one of the Teresa's was someone considered Christ's
wife.
Is her husband, yeah.
Was she also Italian?
Teresa?
Huh.
There was two. There was Saint Teresa of Avila.
She's
a Spanish. And there's another Saint Teresa with a little flower. I can't remember whether she was Italian or not.
Anyhow, this is the story. I went to her birthplace. That's somewhere not far from Florence. She's the 21st or no, 23rd of 25 children or something like that. And suddenly she was devoted to Jesus Christ, and one day she had a vision of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ actually gave her a wedding ring. And she said, "Here you are, I'm married to Jesus Christ." That's possible. Again. But again, if you are not mature, you are you walk into another trap. It's not so easy. So, to me, and this looks rather harsh and selfish to some extent, and a bit crude, I see this attachment is non-existent, and therefore there is no need to struggle against it at all. Why should I struggle against it? It is non-existent. You take a son or a daughter, for instance. We start from there. And you dote upon them, you shower all your... Then suddenly the girl looks at the boy, or the boy looks at the girl, and then she's gone. Yes? The same girl whom 10 days before the episode pretended that without you she cannot sleep, and without you she cannot live, and without you... Suddenly, when she has found that boy, she doesn't want you anymore. She accuses you, she criticizes you, she says, you are my father, you are my mother, you are not looking after me and all that. Now that she has found a boy or she got married, she comes around and tells you, you know, my husband doesn't like my coming around here. Eh? What is that? I see this happening every day. To me, to some of the others, etc., etc. So, the moment I look at you, I see you're also growing up. One of these days you will just walk out on me, and because you found a man. Is that right? This is simple, isn't it? This is life. Whether it is a son or a daughter, this is life. You are going to lead your own life. The boy has to lead his own life. Oh, I have to lead my own life. Immediately. If you are my daughter, I tell you, you have to lead your own life. I look after you whenever you have some need, come and ask me. Unless you are too small, you know, for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, then it's a different story. Once you have gone beyond that, then it's not there. You belong to somebody else. Or even if you don't belong to somebody else, you have your own life to lead. This to me is clear as daylight. And as I am telling you, my dear, you have to lead your life, I am telling myself, I have to lead my life. In this, to the extent that we are together, we can scratch each other's back, make our lives a little more pleasant, a little more happy. But one of these days you are going to say, bye-bye, daddy, I'm going. My husband has sent a telegram. You see that? Now, it's from there, I see that you have to go, one of these days. But what happens if this woman is my wife? I realize even you have to go, or I have to go. You have to go, I have to go. I may go one of these days. And I look at this, my wife. What happens if I collapse and I'm no more? What are you going to do? So, merely thinking not superficially, you know, deeply, makes me realize that I must give you as much freedom as possible, as you like, as you can take, as you can digest, and literally prevent you from foolishly depending upon me, because I have seen this happen. Women who depend upon their husbands, or husbands who depend upon their wives, they just disintegrate once the partner is gone. And then I have heard this, whether it is said in a sort of cliche fashion or maybe from their heart. I've heard people say, oh my God, he so deceived us. He cheated us. He made us depend upon him, and then suddenly he's gone and we don't know what to do. And tragically, I have seen this happen in the spiritual field with regard to, I won't mention names, one or two gurus who sort of, this is a very strange story, which is true, though as I told you, I won't mention names. This person or this person's disciples or devotees never openly said, like the Christians, for instance, that he is our savior. They didn't say that. Because this is a first generation thing. Probably in another 50 years or 100 years they would do so. But that was the belief wafted around. That's the only way in which we can describe it. Sort of, you whispered to me, I whispered to somebody else, come. I whispered to somebody else, you whispered to me, and it goes on. Oh, you know, he's doing such fantastic things all alone. And he wasn't seen, he wasn't easily accessible to people and so on. He was in an isolated ivory tower. And it was sort of whispered from one to the other that he is doing everything that need to be done. And he is virtually immortal. In any case, he is not going to die for the next few thousand years. Till he has brought heaven down onto this earth, he is not going to die. And he is doing all that, just wait. And what must you do? Nothing. You sit and meditate upon him, tune yourself to him. And then we have got an enormous ashram and things like that. So I'll tell you what else to do in order to tune to him. Listen to what I am saying. And then one day you will find yourself levitating. And the funny people believed that. Till one fine morning he was dead. Then the groups divide themselves into two halves, or may not be exactly half and half. Some believing that never mind, body or no body, he is still there. The others being disillusioned and say, my God, we thought he was going to lift us up. He hasn't lifted us up. Let's go to the pub. If this spirit is not there, that spirit is there, thank God. But again, in the heart of at least some people, perhaps quite a lot of people, there is a bitterness. I depended upon this, nothing else. What is this? So, when I see some too heavy leaning or dependence, I say, my God, what is this? I might drop that any day. And apart from that, even now, do I have the capacity or ability to sort of uplift spiritually or redeem and save and all that? Absurd. No. Unfortunately, even Jesus Christ doesn't seem to have specifically said what, just take my name and I'll save you. Having said that, he has said at one point, they who believe in me shall not perish. Right? But there is another statement elsewhere which is forgotten. They who believe in me will do what I tell them to do. They who have faith in me will do what I tell them to do. Not all that say, Lord, 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 will go to heaven, but they who do the will of the Father, that will go to heaven. So, if you put all these things together, a different story emerges. You can't just depend upon somebody and somebody is going to lift me up, no. If you can do that with that terrific self-surrender, that's also all right. Can you do that? If you can do that, this microphone will liberate you. If you can surrender yourself totally to this microphone, I guarantee it, the microphone will liberate you. Free you from all fear, from all anxiety, from all your problems. Surrender yourself to the microphone. You come, you prostrate, you sit up, hear microphone, Om. Half a minute later, your own mind bothers you. This is going to save me. So there is no surrender. If you can surrender this, you are surrender that, you are redeemed. You understand the simple joke?
Surrender to anything.
If that true spirit of surrender is there, this true spirit of surrender itself is redemption, is salvation, is moksha, nirvana. So that is it. If you get caught with that sort of guru, then what happens? You are as attached to him as you were to your husband. And the attachment continues to be.
So Swamiji, it seems it was just that constant remembering or recognition.
Not remembering, recognition.
That you're alone, that you're born alone, you're dying alone.
Exactly, exactly. I am alone, I was born alone, I will die alone. And nothing in the world will do anything. And even so, everybody is born alone and will die alone, and they will pursue their own course. I can't cling to them. There is no sense in my allowing myself to be clung to. In the meantime, you and I are together. We can make our lives as pleasant and comfortable as possible. As a matter of fact, if there is no attachment, there is a greater joy in company, in relationship. There is no jealousy, there is no sense of possession, there is no clinging, there is nothing. Whether you are my father or my mother or my wife or my husband or my son or daughter, it's beautiful. As long as we are together, which means as long as you want to stay with me and I want to stay with you, both, we can love each other and have a nice time. But even then I realize that one day you are going to leave me and go, or I am going to leave you and go. It's quite possible that you don't want to be disloyal to me, abandon me. But one day you will die. One day I will die. And there is no guarantee that there is no cue system in death. The young person may die before the old ones die. So there is absolutely nothing, no rhyme or reason. When that is seen clearly, then there is no attachment. The intelligence recognizes that there is no attachment. It's not a question of, I should not be attached. I should not be attached is already an assumption that it is there. And I have to get rid of it. The direct perception or recognition that it is not there, that's the only solution. Otherwise you are merely shifting the load. It may be very nice for some time. You're carrying something on your right shoulder. You shift it on your left shoulder. You are still carrying it. And then shift it onto your head. That is not burdenlessness, enlightenment. You still have the load. One, we must have one or two such dramatic experiences, and then investigate them and grasp the lesson. I am even now, perhaps, before I was even more terribly attached. And not so much, in Madras also, I was terribly attached to the family. Then I thought, all these people will just disintegrate if I leave them and go to Calcutta. I was prepared to throw away all my prospects and stay on in Madras. But then somehow they forced me to go. So I went. Then I came back a year later, everybody was quite happy and nobody had died and nobody had had a heart attack, nothing happened. The children were growing up, everything was all right. So I'm not so important. Thank you very much. Good. And then I thought, after all, family. In the family, it's an obvious thing that they love one another for selfish ends. Right. Oh, but among friends, it is not like that. And in Calcutta, I developed intense friendship with quite a number of people. So that when the transfer order came, there was a big weeping competition in the house. Number of families going into mourning. I nearly wanted to cancel my transfer and pretend I was sick or doing something like that. But then, no, it was not possible. So I had to go to Delhi. About 6 months or 1 year later, I had to go on official tour to Calcutta. I went and stayed in the same flat. And everybody was quite cheerful and happy, and they came and said, how is Delhi? And da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, that's all. That's good. There's a beautiful... You might have read that already. These gopis, who were supposed to have been terribly attached to Krishna, one day they were discussing this problem among themselves. And they said, we don't know if Krishna remembers us. We had a nice time with him, we danced with him, we made love to him, we did this, we did that. Now he has gone away to the capital city, and probably he has princesses there and queens and princesses and all that. We don't know whether he remembers us even now. Perhaps not. Now, listen very carefully. Perhaps not. If he can live without us, we should learn to live without him.
We know that today.
If he can live without us, we should also learn how to live without him. Why not? But these are all ad hoc solutions. They are not real solution. The real solution is to see that there is no attachment. There is no attachment. It is not a last sting attachment or first sting attachment. If it is not lasting, what is attachment? That is touching. That is not that is attachment, not attachment. It is attachment. That is good. Just touch and go, that's good. Then you are able to love. Only then you can love. Only if there is no attachment, you can love. Otherwise, there is no love. Otherwise, there is problem grabbing possession. And possession is... I don't know if you have ever been possessed. My God. It's stifling, killing. You can't move, you can't turn. And that's not called love at all. I don't even know whether it can be called attachment. I wouldn't want to call it attachment. That attachment is very much like the dog collar and leash. That's killing, destruction. Where there is attachment, there is no love. Though people pretend that what we call attachment is really love. It's absurd. You want to possess the other person. That is... And again, if you forget the human element in it and bring it down to inanimate objects, then suddenly you realize what I am talking about. Supposing you are greatly attached to this tape recorder. And you love it, that's what you think. You look after it very well, which is very good, no problem. And that way you can love me also. Look after me very well. Look after the tape recorder very well, and you clean it and oil it and keep it safe. You think you love it, you think you care for it. But it is not difficult to see that you are attached to it and there is a sense of possession. I possess this, it is mine, and therefore I am looking after. Otherwise I wouldn't look after that. It is mine, it's my possession. Now, someone comes and takes it away. Your neighbor. Your neighbor comes and takes it away, steals it. And let's say I know it. I go to the neighbor's house and I see the tape recorder being played there. It plays very nicely, beautifully, without crackling noises and without shedding any tear, no tears. I come here, you are weeping. You didn't possess the tape recorder, the tape recorder possessed you. So that when it went away, you are crying, not the tape recorder. If you really possessed the tape recorder and you loved the tape recorder and you looked after the tape recorder should be miserable. Now that all that is lost, it is you who are crying. The tape recorder is singing away happily. That is precisely what happens when it is a human relationship. A reason why sometimes marriage, which seem to be terribly, excessively loving, which in reality meant attachment, breaks up, and then one or the other of the partners goes right down the scale and they seem to be quite happy. They are able to breathe now. When they were in a palace and leading a very luxurious life, everything was there except this freedom, a stifling thing. Now that they have gone away, I can breathe. That's a terrible way of dealing with human beings. And therefore, that is, according to me, that's not attachment even. It's pure and sheer possession, which is cruelty, not attachment. That is not love, that is not attachment, that is sheer cruelty.
It's cruel to both, the possessor and the possessed.
Nobody asked you to be the possessor. So what is cruelty to you? The possessed is the aggrieved party. The possessor is an idiot. Not cruel. The possessor is cruel, but there is no, he doesn't suffer cruelty. He is only an idiot. The suffering for the possessor comes later. When this object slips away, then there is suffering. Then the tables are turned. The possessed doesn't suffer anymore. There is freedom.